Idly hey.
Welcome to another episode of The Brett Allen Show.
Prepare to be astonished.
A pop culture podcast. Join Brett weekly as he interviews your favorite celebrities from film, television,
I'm back in business, baby!
Comedy, and much more.
Inconceivable!
Plus, you never know who will stop by.
Dude, we are so gonna party!
Now, here is your host, Brett Allen.
It's another episode of The Brett Allen Show, a pop culture podcast where we chat with your favorite actors from film, television, music, comedy, and more. Wherever pop culture is there, you will find us there waiting to talk to somebody amazing. And today we are talking with director Edwin Stevens. He has a project that came out a few weeks ago, but it's just as amazing now as it was when it released, and has been met with phenomenal response. Alice Is Still Dead. What is life after murder? It's a little bit of true crime today. Edwin, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes. Well, this is a fantastic film. I had the opportunity to watch it. Thanks to Persona PR for allowing us to watch this and to have the privilege of talking to you. Let's talk about this because true crime, I think, right now is more popular than it's ever been, especially even in the world of podcasting. Serial true crime, that's kind of how podcasting became so popular. And really, I think people are just genuinely obsessed with this concept of true crime, this genre. It's very popular. Edwin, let's talk about this and how it sort of came about for you, the genesis of it, and also what people can expect if they haven't had the chance to watch this film.
Almost exactly 8 years ago, my little sister was murdered outside of her home. And it kind of just sent our whole family in a tailspin. She was 24 years old, was coming home from a night out, and two people jumped her and her boyfriend in her driveway and shot them both. And it seemed like very random and completely out of character that this would be the way that she went out. And there was a long period of time where we didn't know what exactly had happened and who had done it and things. And during that period of time, we were just grieving so heavily. I thought, you know, I need to get some of this out. I need to get some of this out in a healthy way. And since I'm a filmmaker, came out in the medium of film, and it began as just me trying to work through Alice's loss and remembering her. And then it became a bigger project where I started flying around getting interviews about her from some of her closest friends and family and teachers and things along throughout her life. And then it gradually became obvious that this was a bigger story, that it wasn't just about me working through the grief, but it was about others who have had similar traumas, you know, working through their grief. And it was about what happens after the true crime, you know, the typical true crime film is over. We figure out what happened and why it happened, but the family and the friends of the victims are still left to pick up the pieces. And this has some true crime elements, but it goes farther into the emotional side of grief and what's left after the verdicts are come to.
Yeah, and I think that's important for our listeners to understand that as much obsession that circles around this topic, a lot of times, like your situation, it's a very personal thing. You know what I'm saying? It's not just, you're not doing this for shock or entertainment purposes, right? It's not like you went and dug up some random cold case and decided that
right.
You were going to investigate it and try and bring people to justice, which happens a lot, which is okay. I think that's okay. There's been a lot of shows, truth be told, on Apple TV Plus that sort of takes that approach and that sort of thing. But this is very personal for you. I have to ask, because of the fact that it was so personal, do you find yourself, or does the family find itself, do you have any sort of closure when you take on something like this, especially making the story of Alice so public and really letting people into the personal lives? Does it help? Because I've had family members pass. And of course, having a family member murdered is, I don't even know how to characterize that kind of conversation. But as somebody who has grieved and mourned and still is finding closure when family members have passed, does this help in any sort of way? Or is this, like you mentioned, just it's a therapeutic outlet for people or for yourself to sort of work through this and kind of understand it on a more visceral level? Because these types of events, they happen so quickly, and then you have to spend the rest of your life trying to piece it all together, so to speak.
Yeah, I found that for the first time in my life, there was a big enough traumatic grief that I couldn't just compartmentalize it, and that I needed to be proactive in attacking the grief head on. And this is the way I did it, just because I'm a filmmaker and that's the art that I know. But I'm sure there, you know, that anyone who is not a filmmaker could in their own way, you know, make something beautiful or to preserve their loved one's memory. And that was the ultimate goal from the beginning for this. And in that way, I do feel like I gained, I moved forward. The word closure is very tricky for me now, because when I think about that, I think about like closing a book. And I don't think that Alice's book will ever be closed for me.
Sure.
I think that I will continue reading through it, and hopefully that I will get farther along in the book the more I read. But I never want to close that book. And as painful as it can be, I want to keep that book open and remember her. But it was helpful to work through it in this way. And you know, because making a film is such a complicated process sometimes too, it was like, okay, well, I get to schedule out these goals basically that I'm going to make, you know, this interview, that interview, I get to schedule everything. So my mind's busy working on other things while still processing the grief in the background. And then in the actual interviews, you know, I was attacking it like a job, like it's another film I'm making. But at the same time, still working through those personal issues in the forefront in that way. And so it was a nice way to disguise the fact for me that I was going through grief and working through it, because it was just work. You know, this is what I do. So it was very helpful. It really forced me to look at it head on and really face it, whereas I probably would have tried to stuff it down had I not made the film.
Yeah, it's a very fascinating picture and very, you know, I definitely enjoyed this and had the privilege to watch it. So I think
people will
have the benefit of that as well. It's available on most platforms to stream. It released a few weeks ago, so it's been out for a little bit. I believe on the 5th is when it went out on video on demand.
Yes.
So it's definitely out there for people to catch and to watch. I want to switch gears a little bit, because you are a filmmaker and you have done a lot of storytelling. You've put together some pretty amazing projects, including Dark Harbor, which stars former guest of our show, Joel McHale. Let's talk about just your career as a filmmaker and how storytelling became a part of your life. What was it that interested you in this and made you pursue this as a career?
That's really funny. I've been trying to figure that out myself and pinpoint a moment. There are a couple times where, you know, there's one trip where I went up to Canada with my hockey team in third grade. And when we came back, I collected all the videotapes from the parents, and I wanted to put together a highlight reel. And that kind of got the wheels turning for me. And then and later in middle school and high school, whenever there's an opportunity to do a project on video, I chose that avenue. So that I think that also kept me moving towards the career that I ended up at. But by trade, I'm a cinematographer. This is the first film I've ever directed. So in the past, all the projects that I've worked on have been in the editorial or cinematography department. And, you know, we all see the world through our eyes, right? But there's something about cinematography. I wanted to be able to light it the way I wanted to light it and choose the angles that we see it through. And it's very empowering to know that you have that kind of control. And, well, when it's going well, anyways. And it's just a really fun, creative way to make a living, in my opinion.
Yeah. I would say anything in the entertainment industry is a creative way, an interesting and fun way to make a living. It's so different than I think what most people are familiar with when it comes to an 8-to-5 job, so to speak. But again, I think all the work that you've done has just been spectacular.
Oh, thank you.
And I really think, yes, of course, and I think people will enjoy this film. One last question. I do like to ask this of everybody that comes on the show, kind of throughout the trajectory of your career, and you've had a lot of different experiences, either as a cinematographer or as a director. You know, the circle that directors keep is quite tight, I think, because you just, it's a different mindset and just a different type of creativity, as I said, that a lot of people are used to. But what is the best advice that you have been given in your career as a filmmaker that has sustained you, Edwin, and kept you moving along and sort of motivated you through this wild ride of being a content creator or a storyteller?
Something that I always think of, when I was in school, we got to take this really awesome class. The school that I went to, it was called Colorado College, and they do films in they do classes in blocks. So each class is 4 weeks long, and you really intensively dive into a subject. But that also means you don't have any other classes going on. So this particular class took place in Hollywood, and it was about Hollywood history and the different positions and departments that there are in Hollywood. And one person said, you know, this industry is really, really difficult. And very competitive. And so if you can see yourself doing anything else, I would do that. And it's such like a negative way to get this point across. But, you know, film is really difficult. And I think that that's pretty publicized right now with the potential strike that's been looming. You know, the conditions aren't always great. But you get to work on this beautiful medium. And I've been keeping that in the back of my mind, because there are some very, very difficult days, weeks, months, but I still feel like I wouldn't want to do anything else in the world. And if you can find that thing, no matter what it is, and you can devote your career to it, I think that's a very special relationship that you have with your career. And so that's the advice that I took to heart, and I've been trying to keep that in mind ever since. And the passion is still burning in me to keep doing what I'm doing. So until that dies out, I'm going to do that.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard that many times from many different people that are in the industry, because it's very true, you know, because as a film director or filmmaker, it's still in that genre of artists, and especially people who are actors, who go out and audition, and the rejection rate is so high, and some people view it as rejection, some people missed opportunities, whatever the case
right.
might be. However you frame it, it's not like any other job that most people would have.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like you might go for an interview and you may or may not ever hear whether or not you got the job or not. So
right.
I think that it's very true. And it's, I like that, because it's the one place where there's the most brutal honesty, I think, about what you're going to be doing. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? Because
mm-hmm.
if anything else is interesting to you, and I agree with you, then you should probably do that, because this is just going to wreck you if you don't have the right mindset to pursue it. This is a fantastic film. Alice is Still Dead. It, again, is available on all platforms to stream. Just Google it, and you can get access to it. We'll link the trailer in our show notes to the episode as well. Edwin, thanks for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate you.
That brings today's show to a close.
Doodly-doo.
Thanks for stopping by. If you enjoyed the episode, feel free to share it with a friend and subscribe. It's absolutely free. The views and opinions of the guests do not necessarily reflect those of the host.
Autobots, roll out.
Go home.